The morning came, and now the trumpets blow because the parade is going to start pretty early in the morning. And everybody's lined up in the streets and all the neighborhoods. And the Jewish neighborhood, of course, is also excited for the parade. And the leaders of each shul go and open up the Arnei Kodesh. And they take out the Sefer Torah case. And inside, of course, of the case was the Sefer Torah. Now, it must be that the Shamish took it out of the Arnei Kodesh and gave it to the president of the shul or the rav of the shul, because they knew the secret that the Torah was really inside of the case. But nobody else knew. Even the leaders that were carrying it did not know the Sefer Torah was in the case. And when the Shamish took it out of the Arnei Kodesh and put it in his hands, he took it out of the shul. All the people of that shul were going behind him. And now they're waiting, holding the beautiful Sefer Torah cases with the Sefer Torah inside. And they're waiting for the king's royal parade to come to the Jewish neighborhood. And finally the trumpets blow. And here comes the king with all of his officers. And Marcus is riding on his big horsey next to the king's wagon. And the king is on his traveling throne. And the soldiers are marching, and their officers have their shiny uniforms, and the trumpets are blowing. And all of a sudden now, the king is entering into the Jewish neighborhood, and the leaders are all lined up with the beautiful Sefer Torah covers. And all of a sudden, Marcus says, "You see, king, here are the Jews with the empty cases like I told you. You see, these Jews just want to make fun. And that's why they come out with empty cases. And you'll see that I'm right. Your people have to be good to you, king. They have to be true. The inside has to be like the outside. And the outside like the inside. Not that a person shows one way on the outside and on the inside he's laughing at you. Open up the cases, you'll see they're empty." And the king commands the leaders of the Jewish community, "Open up the cases to see if your holy book is inside, or you're just showing me an empty outside and there's nothing inside." And each one that was holding a case got afraid, because they knew that every time there's a parade, they take out the empty case. Because there's no reason to take out the Sefer Torah, because they're not going to read from the Sefer Torah. And of course, they don't mean, chas v'shalom, anything not nice for the king. It's just that they're showing an honor for the king by taking out the cases. Of course, it's no big deal. But a troublemaker like Marcus makes it, he twists around something that's really not a big deal, and it makes it look like a big deal. This is the way liars and Rishoyim are. They twist something to make it look a certain way that's believable. But the king commanded, and so they have to open up the cases. And they were afraid. Oh, what happens if we open them up and they're empty? There's some kind of an evil plot against us. But if they don't open them up, they're rebelling against the king. The king commanded them to open them up. So they had no choice but to open them up. And each leader or president of the shul or rav opens up his case. And all of a sudden, as they open it up, inside, what's inside?
The Sefer Torah.
The Sefer Torah is inside of each one. And of course, Marcus, his eyes are popping out of his head, and his face turns red. We didn't do that for a while. And of course, he is absolutely surprised and ashamed. And the king is looking at the beautiful Sefer Torahs for his honor. And he looks at Marcus and he says, "Okay, Remember, there was two parts of this deal. If what you were saying was true, that was one plan. But since what you were saying was not true, it was a big lie, we have to do the other plan. Whatever I was planning to do to the Jews has to be done to you. Should I tell you what the king did to Marcus? Or it's not nice to tell nice Jewish boys eating lunch what happened to Marcus. I'll tell you, just like what happened to Haman, they went to a big stick and they took a rope and they took Marcus and somehow they combined the three together in an interactive fashion. The big stick with the rope and Marcus, and you can figure out the rest for yourself. We won't tell all the gruesome details, but that was the end of Marcus, interacting with a stick and a rope. A tzaddik was once visiting somebody's house, and he came into the house and he starts walking through the house, and all of a sudden he starts going like this. Now, unless you're looking at me and you're very quiet, you won't be able to tell what I'm doing. So for the next part of the story, since I'm not telling it with my mouth, I'm telling it with some other part of my body. You have to watch to see what the tzaddik was doing. All of a sudden, he's smelling something. And the balabas, the owner of the house, who the tzaddik was visiting, he starts to think, what smells in the house? Does something smell not pleasant, not good? Is there a bad smell in the house? Well, maybe his wife is cooking something in the kitchen. It smelled, you know, okay. But the kitchen was kind of far away. And they were not in the part of the house near the kitchen. So it wasn't really the smell of food. And the balabas couldn't smell really anything. But this tzaddik was smelling something. And he says, I smell the smell of Gan Eden. And it's coming from a room right near here. And he goes now to a door in the hallway. And he says, could we open this door? And the balabas opens the door. And there's a little room, like a closet. A little room, like a little closet. And the tzaddik is smelling in that little closet. And he says, in here is the smell of Gan Eden. What is this room used for? What goes on in this little room, which is like a closet room? And the balabas thought to himself, it's just a regular closet. I don't think there's anything that goes on here special, especially that has the smell of Gan Eden. And the tzaddik says, who lived in the house before you? Maybe they used this room for something special. Well, they found out there was another tzaddik. Now, unfortunately, I heard this story. Somebody was telling this story by a simcha, and I remember this story, but unfortunately I forgot the name of the tzaddik. If I see this person, he lives far away, but maybe I'll see this person, I'll get the name. The main thing really in this story is what happened, and not necessarily the name. But I would like to know the name, but I'll tell the story anyway. There used to live in this house, a long time before, a different tzaddik. I think it was Reb Naftali of Rupshitz, but I'm not 100% sure. Ah, the tzaddik says, he must have used this room for something very special. I would love to find out why the smell of Gan Eden is still in this room. Is there any way to find out? Well, he lived there a long time before. So the tzaddik says, is there anybody very old in the town that might remember what he used this room for? And he started asking around in the town if there was somebody old. And they found a woman who was 95 years old. And they said, she must have been around at the time that the tzaddik was living in this house, because she's 95 years old. That's almost 100 years old. And they called the woman and they asked her, do you remember when this certain tzaddik used to live in this house? And she says, yes. Do you have any way that you might know what he used a certain room in his house for? And she says, well, it's possible, because I used to be in the house working for that tzaddik when I was 12 years old. Oh yeah? You were working for that tzaddik when you were a girl, 12 years old? She says, yes, I used to spend time helping in the kitchen and doing things for that tzaddik. Well, can you come to the house and look at one of the rooms? Maybe you'll remember what it was used for. And they brought the old woman to the house, and they brought her to that little room. And they said, and they asked her, do you remember what the tzaddik used this little room for? Oh, she says, yes, I remember, even though it was a long time ago and I was 12 years old. By the way, how many years ago, if she was 95 years old, and she was 12 years old when she worked in the house, how many years ago was that? She was 95. She's 95 in the story, and she's 12 when she was working there. How many years ago was that?
95.
She's 95 and she was 12 years old. How many years ago was that?
83!
83 years before. Very good. 83 years before. Okay. She says, I remember what I used to see in this room. The tzaddik in this room, the tzaddik used to lock up his three shmura matzis that he used for the Seder. In this room, the tzaddik used to lock up his special shmura matzah that he himself baked for the Sidorim. It must have been six matzahs, three for the first night and three for the second night. He used to keep those matzahs in the room that he used to bake himself very carefully. And you can imagine, if the tzaddik did everything himself, he cut the wheat himself. He grinded the wheat and made the flour himself. He made the dough himself. He rolled them out and he baked them all himself for his siddurim. He used to keep those in the closet. Now listen closely. The tzaddik who's listening to the old woman said, that cannot be the reason the smell of Gan Eden is in the room. There must be something else that happened in this room. Now, it's very special that he baked his matzahs and he baked the shmura matzahs, but there must be something else. And all of a sudden, the woman started to cry. She said, I remember something else, but I never told it to anybody, and it's embarrassing. But as long as you're asking me and I remember, I'll tell you this story. The old woman is now telling this story. Rabbi Meristin, you're telling this story, not an old woman. No, I'm not the old woman, but I'm telling you the story that the old woman is saying inside of this story. She said, when I was 12 years old, I didn't know When I was 12 years old, I did not know what I told you now about the Shmura Matzah of the Tzaddik. I learned it the hard way. And this is what happened before I knew about his special matzahs. I was working in the kitchen. It was Erev Pesach. I was peeling potatoes. I was cleaning chickens. I was getting ready the things for the Siddurim. And helping the cook. And helping the Tzaddik's wife. And there was a lot to do. And a lot of Orachim coming. When all of a sudden, it was getting close to the night, close to the time for the Seder, and I was told, it is time to start setting up the tables for the first Seder. Go and put out matzah. Put out matzah, that the matzah should be ready in the room for the guests, for the Siddurim, and for the family, for everyone. So she said, the girl said to herself, okay, I have to go get the matzah. Now, she did not exactly know where to find the matzah. So, in the kitchen, she found a few boxes of matzah, and she started putting out the matzah in the room, the dining room. And then she was told, that's not enough matzah, there's more matzah around somewhere. Please go find it and put it out. And she started looking around for the matzah, and she couldn't find it in the kitchen. She said, well, maybe it's in one of the closets in the hall. And she goes out in the hallway, and she finds a closet. The woman said, this closet is the one that I found. I opened it up, and I found 6 matzahs. Now these are the matzahs, of course, that this tzaddik who lived a long time ago in her time had baked only for the Siddurim with special halakha kavanas and hidurim in special ways that were made personally by him. But she didn't know it. She all of a sudden found his 6 matzahs that he so carefully made and baked and put so much time and effort. And she took the matzah and she put it out together with all the other matzahs. It was all mixed up. Later on, this is what happened. It came the night of Pesach. Kenelach, it came time for the Seder. It came time that the tzaddik was going to make his kaira, his Seder plate for the first night of Pesach. And now he goes to the room to get 3 of his 6 special Shmura Matzahs that he baked himself, that he made himself with from the beginning. And he goes to the room and he sees nothing is in the room. The matzahs are gone. Now, you know what he did? Everybody could imagine a regular person would say, my matzahs that I worked so hard, they're gone, what happened? Who took them? And a person might, chas v'shalom, find out who took them there. You took my matzah! Why'd you go take my matzah? I worked so hard on them. I grew the wheat. I cut it down. I watched it. I made the flour myself. I baked it myself with all the halakha kavanas. I spent hours and hours, and you took my matzah. Now that's a regular person. A tzaddik is in control of his yetzahara. A tzaddik gets rid of his chametz. Listen to what happened. The tzaddik very nicely, very quietly, went to the kitchen and he went over to the cook and he said, is there maybe somebody that was working for Pesach that was new, that did not be familiar with all the goings-on of the kitchen and the house. Was there any new helpers this year? And the cook said, well, yes, we have a new 12-year-old girl who's working with us. And in fact, she's helping to serve tonight. She's serving the guests tonight. She's here. And the tzaddik says, could I please have a word with her? Shh, listen closely. They bring the 12-year-old girl to the tzaddik. And he says very nicely and very quietly, young lady, did you maybe go over to that little room over there in the hallway and maybe take something out of there? Now, nobody was there. The cook went back to the stove or back to the kitchen part, and the tzaddik is now talking with her in the corner of the kitchen. Nobody's listening. And the girl said, oh yes, I went to that room. They told me to put out matzah, so I was looking for the matzah, so I found matzahs in that room and I put it out. I put it out with all the other matzah. And the tzaddik says very nicely and very kindly, he says like this. Now again, she does not know that those six matzahs were his special matzahs. She doesn't know anything. He says to her like this, now listen carefully. He says, somebody might mention to you about those six matzahs in the room. And there might be certain people that might get upset about those matzahs in the room that were there. If anything happens, don't pay any attention. It's not worth it. Don't get upset. And don't even listen to those people. They might make a fuss, but just know it's not a big deal. And you don't have to tell anybody that you did anything. I'm telling you it's okay. So if anybody might mention something about those matzahs and might get upset or anything, I'm just telling you, you don't have to say anything and don't feel bad about anything, if in case it happens. Akinallah, did he tell her that they were his matzahs? No. Did he tell her that he was upset at her? No. It's just that somebody else might find out, because other people knew, that the tzaddik used six special matzahs, and they might see that he's not going to take his matzahs out of that room, and they might mention something, they might get upset, and maybe they won't get upset at her because they won't know what she did, but he just wants to make sure that nothing will happen to make her feel bad. So what was the tzaddik more concerned about? His special matzahs or her feelings? What was he more concerned about? The way he felt or the way somebody else felt?
Feelings.
Her feelings. Was he angry in his heart or was he forgiving in his heart? How did he feel?
Forgiving.
Forgiving. So the main chametz, the anger in the heart, the tzaddik got rid of. The tzaddik did not have chametz in his heart. He did not have anger in his heart. He wasn't upset. He got rid of the real chametz, the real yetzahara, the real puffy balgaive. It's called ego, yeshus, me, what I want, how I feel. This is the real chametz, especially anger, when a person gets angry and upset. Oh, why did this happen to me? Oh, why didn't I get what I want? This is the real chametz. So we learn from this story, as we're cleaning our house from the bread and the crumbs and all the bagels everywhere and all of the noodles everywhere and all of this stuff all around the house that's chametz stick, at the same time we're searching for the chametz with the candle and the spoon and the feather, we have to search our heart for chametz and get rid of the chametz in the heart, which is of course the Yetzer Hara.